Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
San Antonio District Judge resigns after a federal corruption probe.
A former San Antonio, Texas judge goes to federal prison after pleading guilty to accepting bribes in exchange for rigging cases in his court. Angus McGinty committed the ultimate judicial sin. Why did you do it?
I did it because I was foolish.
Listen to How to Bribe a Judge on RevolverPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
I fucking love them. I can't get enough of them.
Let's hear that Boston next.
Big jab there from Duffy, and Brett Mears is hurt now.
Down goes Duffy, out cold. Brett Mears does it again.
Rock'em sock'em robots here. Oh my goodness.
I can't believe
there are a couple of absolutely self-involved bullshit artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Hosts plural, and if you do not like the drop time of this week's episode, you should blame Kenny Florian's new travel schedule. It's Monday, April 26, 2021. It's great to be with you. Arguably never greater for us to be with you for more reasons than one. It's episode like 298 of the Anik and Florian podcast, and there is so much to get to after a mixed martial arts weekend that you and I will be talking about for some time. I mean, UFC 261 singularly for me is the most memorable live event I've been a part of. And if you want to call that recency bias because it just happened, then that's okay. And maybe I would say that's leaning into the negative a little bit. The way this event started with these two injuries that had people texting me that they were turning off their TVs because they just couldn't see anymore, right? And if you did turn your TV off, you missed some of the greatest championship finishes in UFC history. Ken Flo had a busy weekend as well. You are sunsplashed. Where are you now? Looks like a different hotel. Are you not in Atlantic City, New Jersey anymore?
I am actually in the exact same hotel. Exact same hotel room, just with, I think, a little more sun right now. It's kind of blinding me. But, dude, I couldn't agree with you more. It was crazy to see just all the fans in there. It was awesome to see that. Things are starting to get back to normal. It was much needed. The energy just seemed different, and man, what a night.
Yeah, I guess we should start with the crowd as we do our headlines. And I often thought about this episode as I was going through my day with this 6 p.m. Eastern start time. And I thought I could just not cuss today and treat it like a UFC live event, right? Because people are like, oh, how do you not swear on air? And it's like, well, it's really fucking hot, you know? But no, if I don't swear today because I know there are a bunch of kids listening, I can do that. So if you have a child who listens to the show on a weekly basis, I would like to hear from you at John_Anik on social media. I know we have some 10 and 11-year-old girls out there that listen. Incidentally, they are my favorite listeners. I put you guys ahead of my daughters who listen sporadically. But if you have kids who listen to this podcast, I want to hear from you, especially after today, because I'm not going to control the language because Kamaru fucking Usman can flow. Like, I mean, it's funny because I saw Dana White at the post-fight press conference talk about him being on his way to being the greatest of all time. And that's kind of what I see. And you put that type of dream and legacy on the line every time you fight when you've won 18 in a row and you're chasing Anderson Silva's record that we thought nobody would break. What'd you make of Kamaru Usman making relatively quick work of a very game Jorge game-bred Masvidal?
I tell you what, I noticed two things. First of all, I noticed a champion in Kamaru Usman who was very much at home as he was walking into the octagon and about to get to fight. He looked so relaxed, so at ease, so ready to go. I mean, he was dancing his way to the octagon, literally. And then just the way he was moving his body and his facial expressions, he just seemed ready. Now, on the opposite side of things was Jorge Masvidal, who looked to me like he was tentative, you know, and didn't seem that. Now, I don't know if that was just the aura of Kamaru coming in there or Kamaru has just been there so many times, but I think this is a guy, Kamaru Usman, who really is feeling himself at this point. He knows what kind of fighter and what kind of champion he is. And he's coming into his own now as a defending champion.
Yeah.
That is bad news for everybody else, man. He put on quite the performance on Saturday night.
I remember when he beat Haider Hassan in 2015, thinking even then that we had a real problem on our hands potentially, right? And obviously there's been tremendous skill development and commitment from him. And I think it's an interesting angle when you talk about Trevor Whitman and that his intention to go train with Trevor preceded the Gilbert Burns fight. That even though Henry Hooft in theory would have been in his corner long term, and he is not in his corner any longer, that the Trevor Whitman thing was going to happen. And I mean, what else can you say about what Trevor Whitman has done to sort of, you know, take Henry Hooft Dutch kickboxing style to that next level with this jab and these hands. And oh my gosh, man, I am just blown away.
Well, obviously it's working. I think that Trevor is way better about the overall striking game as far as, you know, it's one thing, you know, to go forward and throw combinations. Anyone can kind of teach that. But I think you got to understand the whys and the whens. And I think that Kamaru is starting to understand that. And he's way safer now when he's going into strike. He's picking the right moments. He's feinting his way in. He's very loose and relaxed, which is now unleashing the power within Kamaru Usman when it comes to the striking game. Right. So I think it is just it's worked extremely well. You know, I also think that certain coaches just mesh and speak the same language of other fighters. And I think for whatever reason, Trevor, right, because he is a very knowledgeable and experienced coach and he's very good at what he does, it's speaking to Kamaru Usman. And Usman is believing in what he's learning. So it's a perfect match. Kamaru is no doubt a better fighter since he left Florida. And it's great to see, man, because now – people, not only is he a great champion, but people want to see Kamaru Usman fight, right? Yeah. That wasn't always the case. Right. So it's great to see.
So I don't know if you're one of those who mutes the broadcast. I think I said on the broadcast that like Floyd Mayweather allows a striking fight to build. That was something Kamaru Usman said in our fighter meeting, that he now understands how to let a striking style fight build. And in a kickboxing match with no wrestling, I think he's very competitive now, right? I mean, he has a lot of weapons and maybe before he had some of the tools, but he didn't know how to use them.
Well, dude, I tell you what, I think that Gilbert Burns fight, that Gilbert Burns win, beating a guy who, from what I heard, they used to go tit for tat in training, and it was kind of back and forth wars all the time in the gym. I think him getting that result in the way that he did it gave him a renewed confidence in his striking, where now he's like, wait a sec, I can do that. I know I can do that. I am going to continue to do that against anyone and everyone that I face from here on out.
And the Burns win, you're so right. You cannot overstate the confidence that that gave him, not just in terms of the skill set, right? But that was a hard fight for Kamaru emotionally.
Yes.
Now, physically and mentally, this was a really hard fight. And Kenny, if you saw Kamaru's, I'm not saying it played out as a hard fight, but a hard fight to prepare for. If you saw Kamaru Usman's post-fight interview with Joe Rogan, twice he said that Masvidal elevated his game. And the reason he says that, in my opinion, is because you're not just fighting the fighter, right? And you'll hear a lot of fighters say we and not I in these fighter meetings. And I like those guys. You're taking on Mike Brown, right? Actually, you know what? Let me go above that. You're taking on Dan Lambert, okay? An owner of American Top Team who has all the resources and will put all of them forward to try to fucking beat Kamaru Usman, right? And then you have Mike Brown, who's a mastermind, who does have head-to-head wins over Trevor Whitman. I know this night didn't go well, but I think maybe Poirier against Gaethje, I don't know. But I don't even know what the hell I'm saying. I'm having a bad show so far. I'm a little bit all over the place, but you know, you kind of know what I mean.
Not true.
You
know. Not true. Yeah. No, absolutely, dude. Listen, I think that anytime you're facing that level of opposition, you are then going to bring everything at your disposal and seek out the resources that you need, right? It becomes this war not only of one-on-one, but team versus team and who can pull the best resources. And I think that, you know, for Kamaru Usman, he's going and doing that, especially now that he's making some good coin. He can go in and bring in other people and do what he needs to do. And this guy is continuing to get better, man. And it's a beautiful thing because I always appreciated the kind of fighter that Kamaru Usman is.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, from the moment that fight started, actually from the moment he walked out of his dressing room, he just looked ready. He owned the moment. There was no hesitation. There was confidence from the get-go. And that was a beautiful thing. He's coming into his own, so watch out.
Biggest difference between him and George St. Pierre is that one of them loves fight night and one of them did not. I mean, Kamaru really does like to fight, you know? Like, yeah. he would probably enjoy getting, I guess I shouldn't say this, but challenged in the street, right? He is very much willing and able at any time, any place. You know,
he's
a fighter's fighter. He really is. Yeah. He embraces that part of it, that one-on-one competition. He craves it and he thrives. And it's funny because increasingly, like, the dance looks looser every fight, to your point. Yeah. Like, I'm glad you highlighted that.
And John, you know, he is definitely embracing the fight, but he's not an idiot. This is a smart fighter. He knows what he's good at.
Yeah.
He knows when to do it.
Yeah.
He knows how to do it. He knows who he needs to do it against.
Yeah.
This guy is a brilliant fighter. I'm telling you, like, what kind of damage did he take out there against Masvidal?
Calf kicks. So the thing is with calf kicks, man, and we're gonna obviously, we can't go, a show does not go by where any low ki- I know. I don't even know what to say. But in terms of the seminal blow, the fight-ending shot, you know, Jorge Masvidal had absorbed a couple of these prior in this fight, and it looked kind of like a harbinger of things to come. What were your thoughts on sort of the fight-ending sequence, sort of, you know, kind of a feint that set up the massive right hand?
I thought it was a thing of beauty. He was finding a lot of success with his 1-2 combination and was finding it a lot in the form of that right hand. And to me, I think the previous fight in a lot of ways is what won him this fight. I think Masvidal was expecting him to wrestle so much more. He was waiting for that shot. He was so prepared for the wrestling that he was not prepared for the striking. And I don't think he respected the improved striking game of Kamaru Usman. Usman was feinting. He was going high. He was going low. He was mixing things up, but all the while keeping it simple. I can feint a double leg. I can feint a jab and I can do a cross, right? George St. Pierre, same thing. There wasn't a whole lot that he did. George St. Pierre had an amazing jab. He had a Superman punch, right? And he had his double leg. And there was not a damn thing you could do to stop it. And Kamaru Usman's the same deal. Like, you knew it was coming, but there was nothing you could do to stop it. And I think there was underestimation on the part of Masvidal, and there was the improvement of Kamaru. He was waiting for that shot. He was landing early. And Masvidal, to me, looked tense. He looked actually a little bit slow because of that tension.
Yeah.
He just didn't seem the same. I mean, this is not taking away from Kamaru, because I'm not sure 100% top, Masvidal would have been able to do anything against this Usman. But to me, something was off with Masvidal. And I think it was hesitation, maybe because he was expecting a wrestling heavy game plan from Kamaru, and that never materialized.
Longo's going to kill me. I didn't have my phone on. He's been in the waiting room for 2 minutes. Let's get to the Longo minute. Oh my God.
I want you to punch a hole in his fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo minute. John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
So excited.
It was about to clash without me.
All right. Cody, from now on, as soon as this motherfucker sits in the seat, you need to start speeding, okay?
Oh, well, it's recording. It's
okay.
Just depends how long I want to edit it.
All right. So, yeah, you have carte blanche. You are the executive producer, which means your power actually supersedes Kenny Florian's. Three times Ken Flo fought for a fucking UFC title, and Cody actually has more power on this program. But it is great to have Raymond Peter Longo with us, my man. And we thank you for giving us extended time today, because I know it has been a huge ordeal over the last 48 hours or so. And all the love and respect and thought and prayer from me and Kenny and the whole MMA community has been with you. I mean, you were at the forefront of our thoughts, of course, as we saw what happened to Chris Weidman over the weekend. I don't even know where to begin, my man, but it's nice to see you. I'm glad you're home safely. I'm glad Chris can drive and not fly on Wednesday. How are you holding up?
Yeah, it's good. It's a little surreal because, you know, like, again, man, everything, you know, it's sometimes everything, you do everything right and it goes wrong and, you know, vice versa. But, man, the weight cut was the best I've ever seen. The rehigh went well. His warm up in the dressing room was great. His head was in the right spot. It's crazy, and it's like 10 seconds. So I don't even know where I was this weekend. But just as long as he's back, the surgery went well. I talked to Marivi last night. I didn't. Yeah. I haven't even spoken to him yet because I give him a chance to clear his head. But people were telling me he was posting on Instagram and stuff. So I'm glad to see he's, you know, back to, you know, at least talking. That's got to be rough, man. So
did you? Did you see what he said in the post on the Instagram post about the surgery? So essentially, when they fixed the tibia or the fibula, but when they fixed one of the bones and put the rod in, I think they went in through the knee, but the other one aligned kind of like on its own naturally. Like, so there's a chance that if that one heals properly, you know, that there could be some good news here, you know? So, yeah. So, and they're trying to get him up and everything else. And it's just, and he, you know, he's such a positive guy, Kenny, that I don't know if you saw the video, Ray, but he said also that when he was on the ground, just writhing in pain, he was trying to focus on how he was going to turn it into a positive, whether it was documenting his recovery or, because when you look down and your leg is mangled like that, right? I mean, it's like, you're trying to deal with the pain if you don't go in shock, you know?
Without a doubt. I mean, that's a, you know, that's a brutal injury. And look, the coincidence with coincidence, because we were talking today in the gym, is that, you know, it was the second Anderson fight and this was his second fight with Hall. Not that, you know, like the universe is speaking type of deal. But wow, what a crazy, crazy turn of events. I think that's the first thing Dana said to me when he came in the octagon. So it's like, what are the odds of that? And then I say Dana was really, really nice in the octagon. He said, we'll get him the best doctor. Nice. But just, man, even if it would have happened in the second round, it would have been bad, but we would have, it's just that there was the first thing thrown. It was insane.
First strike thrown. That's the crazy thing.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. So
Ray, you said that in the back, and I think you said I called you on my drive back from Jacksonville. He took my call, Ken Flo, by the way, for the record. I'm just trying to keep it light. That's why our poll question today that Cody will get to. Chris Weidman is in a hospital in Jacksonville, and I was thinking, hey, sorry, your connection today actually is not good. So I started talking because you went completely silent. I'm trying to save the show. Okay. Chris is obviously in a hospital and on morphine. And I thought if he maybe opened the Twitter machine and saw it, it would make him laugh for a second. That's why I did it. I could have said, hey, who do y'all think's going to win, Dominic Reyes or Jiří Procházka? But I asked people what your t-shirt size was. But hey, I don't want to get to that right now.
He will laugh at that, though, because it's a funny, pretty funny story.
Thank you. My wife thought it was terrible, and she didn't even pick up on it.
I was like, I don't know. They gave me the wrong size, though. How's that?
I didn't know that they gave you the wrong size. So there's a story here that I didn't even know existed. I was just curious.
The XL was like a rash guard on me. I'm not fucking walking out like this. I go, give me a. So I just to play it safe. I swear to God, John. I go, give me a triple X. I go, all right, at least it's loose. You know, I swear to God.
Looks like a moo-moo.
I can't.
And then I go, I said, I want a double X for the dressing room. And they gave me a triple X again. Like, what am I going to do at that point? But, dude, that XL, forget about it. I got used to the Reebok stuff. That would have been a disaster. Trust me when I tell you. Crazy. And then I wore a tent. They said they had to go to Omar the tent maker.
It was either a rash guard or a muumuu or a dress. There's no in between, really.
No one.
Ray was gonna come out in overalls like Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, you know it was even worse.
Your sneakers. What's wrong with your sneakers? You cut out again.
Oh, I said my sneaker size was 13. Was crazy. I was like Bozo the Clown that night. It was really horrible.
So, Kenny, I didn't know the reason I'm having a hard time. I didn't know I was opening up this type of can. I saw you once and I thought to myself, the shirt either looked way too big or way too small. So maybe this would be a good poll question. Little did I know that there was all of this. So, what's the right answer? What size shirt did you wear out on fight night? Was it triple X? Oh, don't pause on me now, motherfucker.
No.
Hey. Hey, 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 you paused, bro. You're frozen, bro, man.
Maybe we'll get a better connection.
Yeah, sure. Maybe we're going to we may have to hang up with Ray, who is just frozen. Oh, Ken Flo's commentary, incidentally, so good this weekend that Cody said it was like he was frozen in time.
Ken Flo, do you notice how much better his commentating on these fights was now that he had a successful night with the PFL? I think he's revived. He seems excited.
Look at the sun on his goddamn face.
My soul is, he's a different guy. He's back in the booth.
Look at that vitamin D through the hotel window.
I'm Ray, still laughing Ray. About the sneakers.
Yeah, no, Ray, you cut out when you were trying to tell the audience what what size t-shirt did you wear out to the octagon?
Was a triple X.
Oh my fucking God, it was triple X. I'm sorry about the language. 30.4% of our listeners said triple X. I almost didn't put triple X as a choice in the poll. My wife said large. I think she has a secret crush on Ray Long.
Oh man, large. Tell her I love her. That's
she had to dance with Bruce Buffer at Zach Candido's wedding, and she's I think she's still upset with me about that. She would love to dance with Ray Longo though.
Yeah, listen. The XO looked like a bib on me. So like a baby's bib.
Well, the Venom, I guess, has an athletic fit.
I go, what am I, 20 years old? Give me a fit.
Right.
I go,
well, that's
what I didn't want a chance to do.
Kenny, I truly had just no idea.
It was an omen for things to come. The size 13 shoes, the triple XL shirt. We should have known.
I can't believe cancel the fight.
Next time that happens,
I can't believe it was triple X.
Yeah, the only thing those sneakers didn't do were explode, like a clown at a party. I didn't have the exploding shoes, but they were pretty close.
So on my drive,
did they honk when you walked?
Yeah, it was like that.
So on my drive back from Jacksonville, you said Chris was just, and in the best of ways, but sort of bad intentioned, right? The way he was warming up, just the way he trained. He said he hasn't trained like this since the Machida fight in 2014. You know, the desperation training every day, but training smart. Like, this dude was ready to go make a run and become a world champion.
I tell you what, I saw it in Chris's eyes. The same things that I saw in Kamaru Usman, I saw a Chris that I hadn't seen in a very long time. As soon as he walked out there, I was like, this kid looks focused. He looks ready. He looked in shape. And then that happened. And it was horrific to watch. It was horrible. Knowing all those things that Ray was telling us. Right. He was injury-free. He was training well. He was focused. Terrible.
I was so excited to see how it was going to translate in the fight. I really was. And then I was like, I was just the wackiest shit I ever saw. Really, really crazy for that time and for the whole situation, but crazy.
So Uriah Hall, Kenny, he didn't check the kick, correct? I mean,
it looked like he did.
He did. Okay.
Because he opened up his knee just a little bit. Now,
maybe just a little.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but again.
So, that knee, when a knee is kind of flexed, it is, you might as well kick a pole. That's
right. Especially at the point where it meets.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So at the foot, on the thigh or down by the calf, that's a toe. That's not happening, but he just hit it in the perfect spot. That's what happened. Yep. That's what happened with Anderson, too. I mean, those.
Exactly.
It's not, I don't think it's the best thing for your knee, but, you know, like, again, I did that to somebody. Like 10, 15 years ago with shin guards on, which was crazy. But when the knee is in a flex position, it can withstand a lot of pain, man, a lot. And it didn't look on that side like that's what happened, but that's what happened.
So I'm going to try to be as efficient as humanly possible with these 40 or so minutes that we have remaining with Ray. So I want to get both of your thoughts on this, right? We talk about calf kicks and low kicks in modern day mixed martial arts. It's a tremendous trend in our sport. There are a lot of people out there that are just, you know, Ken Flo had some sort of funny tweets like, hey, all right, everybody huddle around now. All right, no more kicks like below the leg, okay? Right? Because a lot of bad shit's happening, okay? But Jim Miller, I told this story probably on these airwaves, okay? Jim Miller told us, I believe in a fighter meeting, that he started working on the low leg kicks for the Nate Diaz fight, right? I believe he used them in the Joe Lozon fight, and he felt that in his shin in a negative way for 3 years, right? So when you are throwing these, we talk so much about defending these, Kenny, right? And wearing shin pads in practice and no, you know, how do you defend them? Are you tough genetically? Are you built well genetically? Can you take the kick, right? But in terms of these low calf kicks, right? What are your thoughts on this one in particular and how it sort of relates to all of that?
You know, yeah, there's no doubt about it that if you are a leg kicker, that you are also taking damage yourself, okay? That just because you see one guy kind of limping and the other guy's kicking and he looks to be okay doesn't mean that he's not feeling it. Every leg kick that every Muay Thai guy has thrown also hurts them to a certain extent, especially over time, and you're doing it for years. So, you know, that whole idea that, you know, some Thai guy has like these invincible shins, they're feeling it. They're feeling probably every single one of them. So, you know, it's brutal on everyone's body, right? This one in particular was just, it, like Ray said, it happened to hit at the worst spot possible on Uriah Hall's, like, it's like the very top of the shin, bottom of the knee, which is the hardest part. Like, if you want to block, that's exactly where you do
right,
it.
Right.
And Chris is hitting with the lower part of the lever of his leg, exactly, which is the most vulnerable part. And he's swinging that thing at a considerable amount of speed.
Without a
right?
doubt.
So it's like if you saw me like, hey, John, watch this. I'm going to kick this fire hydrant right now. The same thing would happen to my leg.
Exactly. That's kind of what it's like. And I'll tell you, you know, you go back to even the Thais, you don't see a lot of leg kicks when it's Thai against Thai because they will check them and it hurts everybody, like you say. But it's funny. You put like an American or another kickboxer in there, you'll see those kicks all day long. They just bury them.
Well, right.
Legs. Because they're not afraid of anything, you know what I mean? But and they will kick to the leg, but it's still different. And it's not, they're not getting away
because they don't know how to block. Right?
And so it becomes a macho thing too. Let me see how is my shin against your shin. And I try, you know, you got to catch it up on the highest part, close to the knee against his weakest part. It's, you know, if you can place it, there's accuracy involved and a lot of other things. But, you know, like Kenny said, nobody gets away for free. I've seen
nice initiations
after like everybody else.
Right. There's some, you know, nerve numbing or whatever and things like that. But, I just wonder if it gives fighters offensively pause knowing that you catch one of these wrong. You know, you don't necessarily, God willing, break your leg. But, you know, Jim Miller felt it for 3 years, and that certainly gave him pause, I think, at times. He's like, the reason you didn't see me throwing leg kicks in the next three fights is because, you know, I injured it in a fight prior offensively, not taking one the other way. So we look forward to Chris's documenting this. I think that's what he's going to lean into. It's just sad in terms of the career trajectory. But, Ray, I think you seem pretty bullish on the fact that, you know, and especially hearing what I said about the surgery, like you seem to think that he'll be able to fight again. Like, what do you think? I know you haven't talked to the guy, but like, I absolutely think he's got one New York walk left in him, at least after this, you know. I just think he's going to be motivated to do that. I really do.
Yeah, no, he's, I'm going to say, I haven't talked to him. He's 100% fighting again. If I know him, he's going to want to fight again. He's not going to want to go out like that. And I think the fact that even Anderson fought after his leg break is going to be more inspiration for him to go, I'm going back in there too. I don't think he'd go out like that. And the good thing is, you know, I mean, Weidman, look, his wrestling is his strong point. He's got great hands when he wants to use them. And he could devise a whole nother game around the attributes he has. Whereas, Silva really was a great kickboxer. And if you take away one of those weapons, it's worse to him. Like, you know, Chris wasn't the biggest kicker, even though he kicks like a mule. You know, we've never seen him do that. But when I first started training Chris, and, you know, he left a lot of guys laying in on the floor of the octagon with just leg kicks.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad just that, you know, if you heard Anthony Smith talk about when he went down to Carolina and trained with him, he said, I don't know how this guy even has a fucking loss. And what he's saying is true. This is he's very well trained. And that's why I say when he started losing was more confusing to me because I know the capabilities of this guy.
Yeah.
And to hear I was happy to hear Anthony Smith be. And that's a realistic, you know, he's a great guy. I mean, they are friends, but he's telling it like it is. I wasn't there, but I know the way the guy is. When he's on, he is a motherfucker, like, you know, Rogan said.
I've never heard you and Matt Serra talk about an athlete the way you guys talk about Weidman, and you both talk about it the same way. And this was not the first time that Anthony Smith had brought up Chris Weidman. He talked about it with the Schmo in an interview earlier. He said, I trained with the guy for 2 weeks. Like, I barely got anything done. in any realm of martial arts. Like, best guy I've ever trained with by far. And yes, to your point, I don't know how he ever lost. But, you know, I got to spend great time with you guys this week. And Chris just looked so goddamn good. And so did Uriah Hall. And Uriah Hall has won four in a row. And that's a whole different conversation. And I hope we can have that for 5 minutes later. But Chris just seemed really ready to sort of resume his ascent. And that's why I think this hits, you know, even deeper for you.
Yeah, no, it's just I really was dying to see what was going to happen because I knew where his head was at. I know him good enough to know that something was different. He was just in a good spot. You know, at one point I said something to him, he goes, you're just trying to make me feel better. You know, like we got that kind of relationship. But I was I'm telling you, this is, you know, I've been with you a long time. I know when you're feeling good. And there's times like when I walk in there and I'm definitely a little nervous. And there's times when I'm not nervous at all. And I was not remotely nervous. And when I say nervous, I mean to an extent where, you know, I'm like, man, I hope this goes. I really was excited. I really wasn't to have it. And I think I was in like a state of shock when it happened. And even when Dana was talking to me, I think I zoned out.
But yeah,
just, you know, I just hope, you know, I know I'm glad he's all right. And that's really the bottom line for me.
Cody texted me, Anderson Silva fought 7 times after the Weidman leg break. That was December of 2013. I wonder how old Anderson Silva was, probably about the same age when it did happen. So as Ken Flo knows, and Ray now knows, 1982, Dateline, Wellesley, Massachusetts. I broke my femur, spiral fracture. Back then, no medical treatment like they have today, right? So I'm shitting in a bedpan for 8 weeks in traction at the Boston Lying In Hospital or whatever, right? But I went into shock right when my leg broke. So I remember my mom and my grandmother, I love you guys, but idiot sticks taking me to the pediatrician's office. Can you take me to the hospital, please? I have a spiral fracture in my femur, right? So they finally get me to the hospital. But I remember them taking me to the pediatrician first. I remember them cutting my overalls with scissors. I'm 5 years old, by the way, cutting my overalls with the cold scissors, right? But it didn't seem like Chris went into shock. It seemed like he was writhing in pain. Like, Ray, what are you thinking in the moment? You said, it made me think of that story because you said, I just went into shock. It's very shocking, but I don't think Chris went into shock. I think he was writhing in pain.
No, I mean, look, they weren't letting me in the octagon. I was just trying to glance over, make sure, you know, he was all right. But
did they let any of you in the octagon? They didn't let Wonder Boy? No.
No.
And Ray, you saw the whole thing? Did you see it happen in real time?
I'm going to say, if you go back to the audio, I said, great kick. And then his foot hit the floor and I go,
right.
Was that his knee? And then they put it up and I go, holy crap. You know, it was
right, because you can't always see everything in the octagon, you know, the angle where you're at and you see the kick and you.
Right. You know, it was the thing with Anderson, like, you know, obviously, you know, all the morons on social media go berserk, but we had no idea what happened to Anderson that time.
Of course.
He just, you know, got his leg checked and, you know, whatever. I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
He was, you know, something else happened. Then you look in the screen and you go, holy crap. It's one of those things that's very hard to look at for anybody.
Yeah. I didn't seek out the old video. Go ahead, Kenny.
I was going to say for me guys, you know, I believe that, you know, just the way that Chris is built and, you know, how he is, I think physically he's going to be fine. What concerns me is, you know, and we saw with Anderson Silva, you know, even Jose Aldo, for whatever happened to his foot or whatever, We didn't see him kick as much, you know, in his career. You know, for me, I think Anderson kind of stopped kicking a little bit. I wonder what I'm concerned about is how this affects Chris mentally for his next fight. Should that happen, is like, is he going to be second guessing that kick, or, you know, is he going to use that in the same way? And you obviously know Chris better than anybody. How do you think he's going to come back from this mentally?
Look, I think it's going to be a challenge, but I don't think he even has to kick like that, you know, and he's got great front kicks also that he could use, you know, to the solar plexus. He stabs you really nice.
Yes, he does. You're right.
He's got great hands. And if he blends his hands in with his wrestling, on a weird way, it could make him better, you know, less things to think about and really isolate what you do. Cause he should really like that fight was going to hit the ground one point or another. There's nothing.
Sure. No doubt.
There was nothing anybody could do. I don't think anybody's ever stopped him completely from taking him down. And if anything, he focused on this camp. And again, I was only there for a short period of time. was his wrestling. You know, he had a couple of big guys that he was wrestling with, and I think that got him back to that type of cardio, which is what he needs in his fights, is to be able to do what he likes to do over and over and over again. And I'm sure you can talk to those wrestlers. For a guy that's 36, going to be 37, he's still hanging with tough guys, man. I've never seen anybody piss on him in wrestling. And if they had a good day, they have 10 bad days in a row after that. He makes that adjustment quick. His wrestling is off the hook. I'm telling you, he might have got bored with everything at one point. Who knows, you know, because it's something that, like, again, I've never seen anybody give him a problem.
He's a total phenom. I mean, if you harken back to some of the early wins that he had, right? The Munoz and Maya and he's a total phenom. I was just going to say, I didn't seek out the old video of Anderson Silva, but this one seemed more violent and worse. And you're right, Kenny. You know, I'm watching the monitor, right? Because you have to, that's going to give you the best angle. That's the angle they're getting back at home. But you're right. It stands to reason that Ray could have missed it. But again, we're thinking about Chris a lot. And they'll move back to South, or they'll drive back to South Carolina, I guess, on Wednesday. At least he said he drove, right? Like 5 hours or so, Ray. He drove from South Carolina to Jacksonville, so he'll just drive home. I guess they'll drive him home, right? And not fly, presumably.
I thought he flew, but I know his wife drove down, but I'm not sure he did.
All right. I thought he told me.
I could be wrong.
To my fat face that he drove, but I've been wrong before.
You know, this sport is crazy, right? Even with, Masvidal, who I really, you know, like as a fight. I mean, you stick around long enough, man, shit's going to happen. It's just the way it is. It's the way that curve works. And again, first time he's been knocked out in 50 fights, which was surprising. But I mean, just all the credit to Usman, man, for pulling that off. I don't think there could have been a more satisfying way for him to win that fight. But like, again, man, this is a, you know, it's not for the weak-hearted. You know what I mean? You have to be mentally squared away. You're going to get swept out with the current eventually, and you're not coming back.
All right. I want to get to some other UFC 261 things and inject sort of Colby Covington into the conversation. And Ray, certainly want your thoughts, big picture, on Kamaru Usman. But Kenny, Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington fought at UFC 245. I would agree with Dana. It's one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. You go back and watch, Colby landed a ton of huge shots. You know, people thought maybe I over-exaggerated some of those shots on the broadcast, but dude, he was landing bombs. What do you think about Usman Covington 2, Ken Flo, as the next fight for Kamaru as he goes for 19 in a row?
Listen, I would have liked to seen him fight Wonder Boy myself, just because it's a different fight. And I also think it'd be really intriguing seeing the best striker in the division take on the best grappler in the division, best wrestler in the division. But there's no question, you can't deny what happened in that first fight and what the second fight will most likely produce. I think these guys do not like each other. I'm not sure there's anyone who likes Colby Covington if you're going to fight him.
Oh, okay. And I was going to say,
right, exactly. He has a way of bringing out, the anger in his opposition. And he knows how to build a fight, whether you like it or you hate it. I think that we would see a lot of that animosity. Again, I think these guys are both improving as fighters, both kind of in the prime of their career. And I think they would deliver another fantastic fight.
Ray, what'd you make of the Nigerian nightmare?
No, I mean, come on. He's first thing I'm going to make out of it is exactly what he said. And I mean, first of all, and hats off to Trevor Whitman. This guy's on fire. He's got some crew of people over there now, fighters that are crazy. But what he said, stick to the basics. I love that, man. The basics are where it's at, period. That's it. You know, we get caught up in jumping around, switching leads, running all over the place. But when you got a great foundation with the basics, you are hard to beat with anything. And that, to me, is the takeaway. And I've been trying to do that with some of the up-and-coming guys now because, you know, as you wick guys for a long time, you want to switch it up a little bit, or, you know, you have an injury, so you go southpaw, you maybe do something different. But I love what he said, and I know Trevor's like that. You could even his personality. He's just, you know, he's a humble guy. He's doing a great job with these guys. But the basics, 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 you can't get enough of them. And when they're downright, man, you're really, really hard to beat. As far as the rematch with Covington, listen, it was a great fight. I agree with you. The big difference to me is that Usman now has fought some really, he's growing. He's still getting better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's fought great people. You know, think of the people he's fought. Covington's been a little quieter. You know what I mean? So hopefully he's gotten some the right work in, but he's going to see a totally different Usman in that fight. Covington is tough, though, and I like that first fight was close. So I think it's going to make for a great rematch. But I think the difference to me is what Usman has done. Yeah. And now he's in the and now he's in a different spot too with Trevor and Henry. And it was great to hear him say that Henry texts him. I know they have a great relationship.
Yep. So yep.
He's surrounded by great people, and it shows, man. They just I love what he said about the basics. I don't think you could argue with that. If anybody does, I think you're a complete idiot. And it paid off, and it should pay off, because you gotta pay attention to small details.
Yeah.
Grinded. I hear guys saying they don't even want to hit the heavy bag. Like, I don't, you know, like you should be getting work in every day and with everything, wrestling.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a berserker, you know, workout, but every day you got to have that shit down and you could get it. And it's really attainable, man. And I think the guys that put the work in could make a nice little splash, whether they become a champion or not.
Presumably, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson was told that Colby Covington was going to get the next championship opportunity. As such, he took that Gilbert Burns fight, right? Otherwise, you probably wait, let this one marinate, and if it goes quickly as it did, maybe you slide in there. But Wonderboy has a fight on the books. All right. Kenny, Thug Rose Namajunas. I mean, you talk about having a penchant for coming up big with big things and strikes and big moments. You know, when people would ask me, like, what's the biggest moment that you've seen singularly, it was Rose Namajunas knocking out Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and she ends a 21 fight winning streak of Zhang Weili. What do you have for me on the new, now two-time strawweight champ, Thug Rose Namajunas?
To me, this was a demonstration of a martial artist defeating an athlete, right? Because you had Zhang Weili, a tremendous athlete, very powerful, very fast. Rose Namajunas, tall, lanky, doesn't look like a fighter. She's this petite, you know, good-looking, kind of skinny girl. And she has this martial arts repertoire that will absolutely decimate you if you are not prepared. She's intelligent. She's always training. You may not see her as often as everybody else. She's training and getting better all the time, man. And you saw it. You saw it on the first time you saw her in the Ultimate Fighter, hitting flying arm bars. You're like, who is this girl? Like, what is going on? She's amazing. You saw the potential, and now you're seeing it. You're seeing her fulfill and realize that potential, and it's amazing to see. And you know, Joe Rogan said he got emotional. I got emotional watching that as well, to see her. And you know, there was a lot of pressure on her, and you know, she was the champ before, and for her to come back and, you know, with everything that she's dealt with in her life, and to see where she's at spiritually at this point in her life, and to see her get that belt back was just an amazing thing. And, you know, our job is to not be biased and not take sides and all that stuff. But how do you not feel good about someone like a Rose Namajunas? I was really moved by it. It was awesome to see. She's a special person and a special fighter.
Yeah, I mean, I ditto everything he said, but what an absolute sweetheart. Her and Pat Barry just got some time. We were, you know, on the same bus and standing there, but just what an absolute sweetheart. I love everything about her. I love the countdown when she's doing Sinawali. She's got the sticks. I was glad that she put, you know, I saw Craig Nelson back in the corner.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's a Jeet Kune Do guy. And I just, the fact that she's and willing to do every martial art there is. I love it. What can you not love about this kid?
Yeah.
She's so nice. I mean, it's incredible. And even her playing the piano was great. So she's not one dimensional. She's a person. And I love the way she spoke, and she wants to do things. I think it was for the environment or whatever it is, but it's always going to be a good cause. This is a really, really sweet person who's fucking incredible.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I got both of you guys swearing today. I love it.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, again, look at the footwork, the way she controlled the range of that fight for as long as it went, but she does it with everybody. You know, I was in the dressing room with Weili, and I had just left like Rose, like maybe the day before. She's big, man. I knew that was going to be a problem. Like, she's not the easiest to get near. I think Weili probably had a strength advantage, but man, was never going to come into play. This kid,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful. The timing on that kick was beautiful. And she's just a beautiful person. The little I've gotten to know, can't say I know her really well, but I've never had a bad interaction with her or Pat Barrett. They're just sweet people.
Awesome.
I love to see it more than anything. I don't fuck about the fighting. You know what I mean? I meet so many new friends on this trip, and there's so many nice people in this community that it's crazy. But you had to be happy for her. You had to be, you know, because you're not going to see her acting like an idiot on Instagram. You're not going to see that, man. She's a sweet person. I love what she stands for. Again, I love the fact that she's a martial artist, and she's even the fact with Craig Nelson still being there was great to see. It really was, because I love martial arts more than I like fighting.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there is
I love it.
And that's what I see her as, and I think she represents that. And to me, man, I'll back her any day of the week with anything she wants to do. I think she's a sweetheart.
And so are you, because you're actively making new friends in your early 60s. I was just saying to somebody the other day, like, I'm not looking for new friends. You know, I'm not looking for any new friends. Sorry. No friend openings.
Let me tell you something. That's the best part.
You're cutting out. God damn it, Ray.
What?
You're cutting out, man. You got me hanging on your every fucking word. I'm still hanging.
That's the best part of the story. So while I had the pleasure of meeting Sam Greco. Kenny, who was a K-1 legend. Who didn't this guy fight? He's still, the guy's a beast. I'm standing next to him like, how fucking big is this guy? I don't even know, but what a sweetheart he is. And I guess we started talking about, it was like Pat Barry, me, Weidman, him, and Jimmy Crute, who's one of my favorite people in the world. We got to get to that, man, because these Australians, man,
we will.
I tell you, they are, I don't think I've met better people. I mean, I love these guys, this whole team. But
We will get to Jimmy Crute.
Sam asked me how old I was, and I said, I'm going to be 63 in a couple of weeks. And Rose turned around. She goes, no way. That's impossible. I go, no, Rose, unfortunately, it's true. And did you ever see me get out of a chair? Because you just see him standing here talking. That's not a good representation of anything. But for her even saying that, to me, I'm swearing by this kid. She's my favorite person.
I love it. Well, and before I said early 60s, I thought to myself, man, this guy, is he really? Doesn't look it, I almost said late 50s. Hey, Kenny, real quick, because I know you love the martial arts stuff, and it's just sort of a couple of real things. Just on Rose, just my notes, Pat Barry texted me after the fight that she just executed perfectly. I mean, obviously, there are certain things. 100%. And a lot of these elite athletes are just waiting for one mistake. And if it doesn't materialize, they fuck you up for 25 minutes. And if it does, something super violent can happen. Greg Nelson, she brought him back 3 training camps ago, just because she felt like the details were maybe getting away from her. He's brought so much to your point. Chico Camus, just super athlete that's totally devoted to her, right? That gets her into her flow. It's completely catered to her. And then, of course, Trevor effing Whitman. Yeah. So,
Trevor, I mean, you can't say anything. I mean, I don't know. This guy's, he's living large now, man. He's backing it up, and he's got great guys. Usman's got to be a huge addition to that camp, and,
Ray, I'll start with you on Zhang Wei Li and then get to Kenny. Again, I'm trying to get to all these athletes because I don't want to keep you here forever. Zhang Wei Li, linear a little bit as a striker. She got tuned up by Joanna. Again, I've watched that fight 3 times. I had Joanna winning all 3 times. And I think Zhang Wei Li is going to beat a lot of people, as she did to earn her championship opportunity. But they definitely have some work to do. What were your thoughts on Zhang Wei Li as short as the fight was?
No, listen, I think, she's coming to fight, right? But I think you hit on a pretty good point. She's pretty linear. I do believe she's strong for her size. But when you have a person that can execute like Rose, that's never going to be a good fight for her. It just never will. Because Rose, I believe, the only way that becomes a problem is if Rose can't do that for 5 rounds. She starts to gas out. But when she's up on her toes moving like that, I believe she'll beat a 9 out of 10 times.
Ken Flo, your thoughts on Zhang Wei Li, your appetite for a rematch? I mean, certainly there are a lot of people at 115 pounds. There's the Carla Esparza Yan Xiaonan fight, which is happening at UFC 262. Esparza has a lot of momentum, has a head-to-head win over Rose Namajunas. That was the inaugural UFC strawweight title fight in 2014. Yan Xiaonan, is a really good fighter. Joanna is lurking, but has two head-to-head losses against Rose. Your thoughts on Zhang Weilu moving forward and divisionally, where do you stand?
You know, people forget that Zhang Weili hasn't been in this game that long, really. You know, she won, what, she made her UFC debut, and then a year later she was champ? You know, so, right? Is that, so, I mean, she hasn't been in the game that long. She still has a lot to learn. That is both good and unfortunate. But I think that's what was exposed here against Rose. Rose's footwork, I think, was really the difference. She didn't know when and where to enter against Rose Namajunas with those circular or half circles that she was making there. But, you know, I do think that Zhang Weili is going to get better from this. She's going to learn from this. I think it was a tough stylistic matchup for her. And she will be sharper. She's a tremendous athlete. She also really surrounds herself with, you know, great people. I also think she is a true martial artist as well. She has the mentality, and she will be back strong from this. Same way, you know, Rose Namajunas, same thing. You know, rarely is success a straight line up. You know, all of these fighters, you know, Kamaru Usman aside, have experienced ups and downs. And from these downs, the key is to be aware, to be present, to figure out what the hell you did wrong. And then you'll learn more from those experiences than any of your wins. And I think we'll see that with Zhang Weili.
Yeah, I agree too. And I love her also because I tell you, I love watching when she's doing Tai Chi. And I mean, it's great. They had to do some other strike, look like Sing Yi to me. I don't know what I was looking at, but she's embracing the martial arts too. So I think, you know, they seem like nice people in the dressing room. And, you know, I wish her the best of luck too. I mean, it's just, I think this fight was just she's just too good at that range, man. She really does. She puts the combinations. She's in and out. She's hard to hit. She's quick. She's powerful. She's got just a well-rounded game. And again, I'm going back to and basics. It's not really nothing crazy, man. It's that, you know, shuffle footwork in and out, bouncing on the toes. It's just beautiful to watch to me. It is.
What were the odds for that one, John?
I was just going to say, Kemflo wakes up his daughter, True, on Sunday morning and says, True, we just bought a bunch of Bitcoin, honey, because Rose Namajunas cashed at +160. I mean, I know you picked her on the show.
She was plus 160, huh?
She was plus 160. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was 2-1 at that point or not, but it's amazing what she was able to accomplish there. Yeah.
All right, so my notes say PFL at 6:50. We have to talk about Kenflo on the broadcast. It's 6:41, which means we have 9 minutes to talk about Valentina Shevchenko, Jimmy Crute, and anything else. How about this crowd, though, when the first athletes of the night walk out, right? Do you think Bruce Buffer went into the octagon? He did. He said to me after the fact, when we shared a glass of white wine, as we often do, don't judge us. In his room.
Do you hook your arms around each other and drink the opposite glass? Do you do that all the time?
He said
a bunch of freaking.
Yeah, so he said that he was not afraid to be a cheerleader. And you can be sure, like Kenflo, it was commentator turned fan for me too. Like I was literally like asking for COVID, like taking pictures with fans, thanking them, right? It meant so much to us and obviously the athletes. Right. And I think to suggest that the crowd did not play a role in some of these performances is not giving the fans enough credit. I'm kind of a broken record on this. If you've ingested anything I've said over the last week, Kenny, but like crowd can take away a bad warm up pretty quickly and wake your ass up. Right. Can it not?
I agree. It's totally different. You know, when I fought in the Ultimate Fighter house, it was completely quiet. It was the weirdest thing. You hear everything. The energy is completely different. And then you go out to, let's say, a UFC fight night, where it's a smaller venue, or you go into that large arena. They're all different experiences, for better or worse. So for me as a fan, the energy just seemed completely different, even just watching it from my couch.
So much better on TV, right?
It was awesome. Hearing fans and everything, it was cool. You know, maybe too many moves, but other than that, it was cool. I would have rather heard whatever it is.
Can we get one of those, please?
Definitely not. Please. Everything's timing.
There it is.
We're louder, Cody, please. God. All right. So Valentina Shevchenko had a point to prove. If you would have told me that there would be this type of strength discrepancy between her and Jessica Andrade, I just, you know, and maybe it's my ignorance, but Kenny, 7-for-7 on takedowns. Shevchenko, too, I have to just say, and now I can say it, sits down in the fighter meeting and just seemed like something was up, you know. just she seemed like she was carrying extra weight in her face, you know, didn't have the color in her face, and performed just fine on Saturday night, didn't she?
You know, John, and Ray could probably relate to this as well. Every once in a while, you get a guy in the gym who's chirping, who'd be like, I could beat that UFC guy. You know, just give me my chance in sparring. I want to go out there, show what kind of fighter I am. And the dude just gets mauled like he's never fought before. That's kind of what Shevchenko. That's kind of what Shevchenko did to Andrade, dude. It was like, oh, you think you can beat me? That's cute. Let me show you what's up. And she got tossed around like a piece of candy. I mean, it was unbelievable. She walked through her like it was a training session, like it was like a newcomer. And Andrade has been around. She's a powerful girl. She can throw people on their heads. And she couldn't do anything against Shevchenko, like nothing. And Shevchenko's not even known as this like big time wrestler. And she absolutely was making her an example out of Andrade and kind of proving a point out there. That was impressive, man.
I mean, I got one word, assassin. I mean, yeah. She really is. Somebody said it. I think I heard it, but she is the closest thing to a secret agent I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I mean, she's beaten half the guys at that weight, I believe. I mean, she's now starting to look unbeatable at 125 to me. And, I mean, if she can't beat you, she's going to, you know, probably shoot you from about 200 yards
away. Well, I was going to say, like, if I really have a problem with my daughters at some point, I think I will send a message to Pavel Fedotov and Valentina Shevchenko and see what she and her head coach can do for me, because I am so with you. Hey, real quick.
She's scary good at this point. Like, and what a great story with her and her sister. And
yeah.
I tell you, she's
Peru's own Valentina Shevchenko.
Kyrgyzstan. Yeah. Kyrgyzstan's own. Peru's own. Yes, of course.
Oh, nice.
Hey, so very quickly again, and if you have a clock on your computer, be mindful of it. But Lauren Murphy and Joanne Calderwood are going to fight. And at least right now, Kenny, Valentina Shevchenko is fighting on Masvidal headlined pay-per-views, right? As a champion, getting points, making money. Doesn't seem like she's losing sleep over not getting a Nunes trilogy fight, even though many believe she beat Amanda in their second meeting in 2017. Mm-hmm. Not unlike Andrade being undersized at flyweight. Shevchenko's going to be undersized at 135 pounds. But what are your thoughts in terms of Shevchenko and what you would do with her in 3 months, 6 months, long term?
Jeez, you know, if I'm being honest, I don't think there's a challenge out there for Shevchenko. I think she's just that good. And this is no disrespect to anyone in that division. I think her biggest challenges are women outside of her division. Okay. I think that's the only thing you got for her at this point. It's just how good she is. Everyone else is fighting for second place.
Can I just say, Flo, Holm and Juliana Pena, right? Like if you go and look at 35, Ray, she's beaten those women. Like headlined against Juliana Pena. Like, let's see how Amanda does against Juliana Pena. Like, I'll bet she probably doesn't finish her as quickly as
you see it. Once in a while in boxing where that dude's just so good, he's got to go outside of the weight class. That's Shevchenko.
Like, and she believes she beat Nunes. She doesn't think she lost.
So do you have her fight Jermaine Durandamy? Like, you know what I mean? It's like you got to find someone at 35 then, other than Amanda, like who she hasn't fought. It's a tricky thing.
What would be fair to her too is a catch weight at 30, I think.
Amanda's not cutting to 130 pounds.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying to make her go up after she's, I don't know.
There's no way.
Yeah, I think you'll see the same thing. That's a close fight. It's a very technical fight.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy Crute. I love him. You know, 25-year-old kid, 12-1, seemed like he was really rounding into form. And certainly, Anthony Smith deserves a lot of credit. I could do a quarter of an hour on how much I love that guy. And now he's emerging as a fighter and Kenny footwork and stuff. He said his coaches finally say he's a factory X fighter because he has footwork and defense and takedowns. Like he says, I'm only getting good now. He's 50 fights in. I'm only getting good now.
Right.
But Ray, you spent some time with the Crute corner and hopefully it's not too serious an injury. Is it you think it was the nerve or the knee? Do we have any idea?
I don't know. He looked like he was having a good time at the bar. I got there after the fight, it was great to see. He was hanging out with Anthony Smith and his wife. So it was just great to see those guys hanging out and talking. I love, again, it's more, and fighting. It's about the relationships you build, even with the guys you fight. And sometimes those relationships become stronger because you have a different type of bond. Right. But yeah, it was great just hanging with those guys. When I was in Melbourne, I mean, whatever we talked about, he just treated me like gold. I love Australia, man. And those people are just great. Salt of the earth type of guy. And, you know, I wish him the best. And again, Anthony Smith, hats off to him too. Great guy.
Yeah.
But it was just good to see. And, you know, just one other word, you know, because people don't realize even with the corners, and sometimes I was dealing with some shit too. So you have to stay focused and you're really there for the athlete. But, you know, Sam Greco didn't make it to the bar because he had lost his father-in-law that night. So think of the pain he has to go through. And then Jimmy told me that, he actually told me that they have to quarantine for 2 weeks when they go back. So the sacrifices that a lot of people make is, I just want to shout that out because I don't think people even remotely realize that.
Yeah, the Aussies and the Kiwis are making tremendous sacrifices. I mean, that's just sacrifice. A
mobile like that. And what the hell is this?
The third one, and Cody is going to kick you out of the StreamYard room. Yeah. Unless it's Chris Weidman, you could take that one.
No, it's not. But,
Kenny does not befriend, by the way, his former opponents. He's a tremendously classy martial artist, but it's not like Kempthorpe's texting Joe Lozon back when he texts him back. Sorry. All right. So it is 6:50 on the screws, which means I want to talk briefly about PFL 1. I really enjoyed watching Ken Flo back on commentary. I really enjoyed watching Clay Collard and Anthony Pettis go at it. I really enjoyed watching the dude, I think Bubba Jenkins, who beat Lance Palmer. I'm a fan of his, Ken Flo. But Ken Flo, like, these are my twin brother Jason's words, not mine. But it's, you just did not miss a beat. Your ability to explain this stuff to everybody and add a little flavor with the humor and the energy, I just think you did objectively a very good job, and you should be proud. And hopefully your wife was proud and your family was proud. And just good to see you back on the sticks, my man, is really all I got. Ray, am I boring you? You're sitting back like the fuck?
No, definitely not.
I'm sorry, pretty sure my whole family was asleep by the
it's
time
the fights came on. I mean, this is a long one today. I might have drifted out there for a bit.
But Ken Flo, hey, great to get one in the can. I mean, nobody's happier than you, obviously, that PFL 1 is in the books. I mean, how was it, and what were your thoughts on everything?
It was great to be back, man. It was awesome. You know, I think that we had some great fights. I think that we had some huge upsets that night, which was really surprising for me to watch. And you know, we saw a couple of former champions go down, which was always exciting. And, you know, seeing in that league format, I think that makes things a little bit juicier as the season moves on. And I felt good out there, man. I always feel like I can do better. And I think that I should improve as we go on. And I'm excited to get after it for the rest of the fights. And I appreciate you watching. And it's been fun, man. It was good to finally get back in there. And like you say, you know, there's nothing like watching live fights, man.
It's the greatest job in the world. You messed up this one jiu-jitsu sequence. I'll tell you about it off the air.
Really? I don't believe that. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, Kenny knocked the cover off the ball. He just did. He was great. It's great to hear. And the fight's great. The fight's really
great. Thank you, Ray.
The fights were great.
Every time I see an ankle lock like Brendan Allen got on Carl Robertson, I wonder why these people train jiu-jitsu. Hey, how about Randy Rude Boy Brown?
That was sweet.
Flo. I don't recall having seen a one-arm rear naked choke in that seat. I don't recall. See, I'm sure you've seen one. I don't know that I've seen one.
Listen, man, you know, if your tie is tight enough around the neck, you know, you could shut off the blood to your brain and put you to sleep eventually. And you really don't need that much pressure. And Randy Brown is probably not your regular average dude. He's strong. He had that right around the neck of his opponent, had the other arm tied up, so there was no resistance with that one arm. And he put him to sleep. I thought it was a thing of beauty, man. And awesome. Good to see Randy. You know, Randy, I think if you look at some of his weaknesses, maybe it's his grappling. He looked sharp. So it was awesome to see. That was a great win, man.
It's time. I'm telling you, New York's got something. Jamaica, he claims Jamaica. Obviously, he spent a lot of his formative years in Jamaica, but he was born in Springfield, Massachusetts. So I asked him in the fighter meeting if we could claim him. So he could be the first Boston-born UFC champion. The thing is, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ken.
Oh no, I was going to say my three older siblings claim Springfield.
There you go. See, there you go. Edgar Florey in Springfield, Massachusetts. You like that, Dr. Gus? Shouting out your oldest. Yeah, I got you. What was I talking about? Dr. Gus, my favorite. I got completely
Randy distracted. Brown.
Randy Brown. The maturity dripping off of this kid in our fighter meeting. You know, he stayed aligned with his original coaches. He now has 11 UFC fights. He's quietly won. How many you think of those 11? 7-4. Not too bad. You know, at 170 pounds, great frame for the division. I'm really excited to see what he can do. All right. So I think that's all my notes. Unless I'm forgetting something, we can get to the pronunciation of the week. Ray, you have a class at the top of the hour, so we were going to let you fly right now unless you have anything else for us. But
yeah, I think we covered it all.
I didn't even say hey, before mind. Cody. Yes. And I want to hear Cody.
So this Ray, Saturday, there's a huge fight for. There's a man fighting from Ray's gym.
Man. Yeah, I'm back on a plane Wednesday. What am I doing? I'm delirious.
Thank God for the executive producer.
John, you screwed me up for an hour. Imagine I talk for an hour and we don't mention poor Marab.
So 5 straight wins, all by unanimous decision. He's the -240 betting favorite against Cody Stamann. Huge fight. You're back on a plane Wednesday. I bet you're probably excited to have something to shift the focus a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, it's look, when you're coaching, I mean, you go from one fight to another. You don't really have time to lament over anything or to really focus. You got to keep moving or you sink. So as of Wednesday, this will be behind me, you know, kind of. And then we just move on. I'm really psyched for Marab. And it's not an easy fight. And it'll be a great test for him. And he'll move up the rankings if he wins. So, you know, he's going to give it his all.
Hey, so from now on, we're just going to ask you how much time you have, and we'll take as much time as you have every week because that's what the listeners seem to want. They want you to be more a part of the show, so we're not trying to lean away from what the audience wants. So thank you for the extended time. I can't believe it was a XXX shirt. I can't believe you don't dye your hair. Is your hair really that black?
Size 13 shoes.
Which is weird. No, don't dye the hair. Alex Davis, I think Weidman told me, was asking him if it was my real hair. And then I was sitting down. Uh-huh. I noticed the guy was behind me. I think he was looking down to see if there was like hair plugs or something. Yeah, very creepy. I got to tell you.
Right. I want to know if shit went down in the octagon and you have size 13 shoes and you're swimming in these things. Would you have to take the shoes off and start throwing down? What are you supposed to do?
The shoes got to come on. I couldn't even get up the stairs. I almost had to send another boy in. Oh, I was tripping over my own feet. It was pretty bad, man.
I believe it.
It's ridiculous.
I'll bring the shoes on next time. It was crazy. It was a weird attire day for me.
So funny. And I had no idea other than the fact that maybe it was ill-fitting. And the whole question just gave us a lot of great content. My hair's white. I shave it. Your hair is – do you have, like, a few white hairs here or not?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were in there. Right. Yeah, 100%.
All right. Well, I guess having daughters doesn't cause gray hair. Good to fucking know. All right, we got to go. We love you. We got to go.
This was beautiful, man.
This was outstanding. Well, not my best show, but you had a great show.
Hey, listen, make sure you say hi to Camozzi for me, too, when you see him. He's fighting this
week. I will. Yeah. I will.
Another great guy.
Yeah. When he finishes his 17-day quarantine.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's a long quarantine.
It has to be New Jersey has to do that, right? Yeah. 17 days.
Yeah.
Everybody's at the end of the pandemic. Nobody's even testing anymore. Yeah. 17. Why not make it a month? Right. Rounding out. No.
Hey, what class you got? Top of the hour. What class do you have? Adult kickboxing? What do you have?
No, yeah, kickboxing. You got kickboxing, some of the fighters in there and stuff. Right. Yeah.
Just making sure it wasn't jujitsu. Because I want to give you time to get your gi on, if that's the case. You know, time to get your pajamas on for the gentle art.
We gotta go. I haven't had my smoking jacket on in a long time. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
See you, Ray.
Ray Longo Minute. Go get your smoke, your jacket. I can't believe it was a XXX. I was like afraid to include that as a choice because I didn't want to offend the guy, and he ended up wearing XXX out there. All right, some picks coming up in about. Oh no, we got our pronunciation of the week. See, there he is.
Well, Cody. I was gonna ask like. You need a jacket, Cody. To be smoking. Sorry. I'm young. I didn't know that. So this episode is brought to you by Garden City Hair Plugs. If your hair is pulling back, plug it up.
That's right. That's good.
We're going to get to the pronunciation of the week when John takes the floor.
Yeah, I mean, you could fire me, except your power doesn't extend that far. So this woman, pronunciation of the week time, by the way, our executive producer, Cody Marrow, holding this goddamn godforsaken program together today. All right, this woman charged with kicking off the main card on ESPN2 Saturday against Luana Catalina. UFC fight night on ESPN2. Of whom am I speaking?
This fight is right before Merab, actually, so make sure you guys are tuning in early for Poliana Botello.
Poliana Botello.
Let's hear. Is that? Look, can I hear it again?
Poliana Botello. Poliana Botello.
I'm kind of a stickler for the Portuguese names.
Please, Kenny.
I don't know if did you say Poliana Botello?
I believe so.
What did you say?
I said Botello. So I whitened up the last name. So I think I'm gonna get the L for that.
Yeah. So, I think John's leading towards. I think that's a no, dog.
What do you think? If you notice, Kenny said more like Botello as opposed to Botello, right? So here's the thing. We will determine how this affects your record when I hear how they do it on broadcast, okay? But what I was looking for was Poliana Botello, okay? Now, that's not always the case, but I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy. If they go Botello, right? I don't know what you said exactly. If they go Botello on the broadcast, we'll give you a win. Otherwise, Botello was what we were looking
to
for.
To be determined.
Probably be all a right. No for me, dog. But
all right, we'll see. We'll see what the poll does for me. But for every pronunciation from now leading up till Houston, John, when I get to see you,
right,
you have to bang out shots for everyone I get right. So all if right, I get that one fine. Right, that's one of three.
That's fine.
So,
Casamigos, baby.
All right.
I have not met
the game bread tattoo this weekend, unfortunately. So
I'm getting the game bread tattoo, whether there's a bet on the line or not. It's just a matter. Trevor Whitman comes up to me. He's like, what are you doing with the game bread tattoo? I was like, how much time do you have for the story? It goes
not
back
as much time
to,
as we have left on this program.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Cody, thanks. Cody coming to Houston for UFC 262. His birthday is May 15th. So he's going to come watch Chandler and Oliveira, Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards. I've never met the kid. How about that? The executive producer of the show never met the kid, probably because of COVID-19. But how about that? All right. Picks coming up in 60 seconds. But support for the Anika Florian podcast brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below the waist grooming and trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. If you're in the market, we have an exclusive offer for our viewers and listeners. 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com/AF in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and the U.K. You've heard me talk about this ceramic blade on this lawnmower 3.0. I'm no longer nicking myself when I'm manscaping. It's the best below-the-waist hair trimmer in human existence. It really is. I don't know exactly how I lived without it. Cutting-edge ceramic blade reduces your grooming accidents. Replacement blades come in the mail. It's part of a brand new peak hygiene plan. If you want to go that route, the plan essentially is just a member portal to manage your preferences. It's available across Europe, Australia, and the U.S. Replenishment pack comes with a free gift as well. This month, foot duster, foot deodorant spray, $30 value, totally free. So if you want to get in on it, get 20% off, free shipping, go to manscaped.com/AF. That is 20% off with free shipping by going to manscaped.com/AF. Put handsome on autopilot with the new peak hygiene plan for Manscaped. I think I just scared Kenflo. Let's get to the main event challenge.
It's the main event challenge. Anik.
The time is most definitely now.
Florian.
I finished fight. I'm going to do everything possible to win.
The main event challenge. The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
Oh, it is time for the main event challenge. And my man, Ian Parker, is with us on social media at Ian Parker MMA. Has to take a sip right as I intro the man. Update the standings real quick before I get to my guy, IP. Dale, put your lip in. Tied Kenflo 4-4. As last week's Team Anik representative. Lead is still ours, Ian, 52-42. But it's great to see you. As many of our listeners know, we are very happy to see you a part of Team PFL. It's 2-1 now, a couple of PFL guys. But if you want to see Ian Parker doing content for the PFL, there's a pre-show on Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. And it gives us great pleasure to see you get this opportunity. You know how we feel about you as a mixed martial arts mind, and that's why we gave you the opportunity. And we're very happy that that others see what we saw about a year ago. Now get us some sponsors. Just kidding.
He's not kidding, but he's kidding, but he's not kidding.
I'm totally kidding. No, you're talent now.
I know. Now, like, you know, maybe I'll get like 6 more followers and those sponsors will write me back. It'll be perfect. Yeah.
So has ChemFlo followed you on Instagram yet?
No.
All right. So that's so funny, right? My twin brother already has the follow. So when he massages ChemFlo for the broadcast, it's not because he's looking for that follow. But I did tape your content. I guess I'm lying when I say that. But I very much look forward to going back. It was a busy weekend, but checking out your stuff with, is it James Lynch and the coach? Is that what you're doing? Yeah.
No. James Lynch is doing his own social media interviewing separately. Coach and I did it with Sean and actually Kenny and Randy back and forth. We were with the broadcast team. They threw it to us. It was pretty funny. Sean in the rehearsal mentioned the Duck Nation and Randy had no idea what we were talking about. He's like, actually, I was a Beaver in college, so I don't know about the duck thing.
How intimate is your audience that people would, with all due respect to our podcast, that Sean O'Connell would liberally drop a Duck Nation on a PFL pre-show? Because, hey, you think I'm dropping Anakin Florian podcast on a fucking UFC pre-show? You know, not trying to lose my job out there,
I didn't even have any conversation. The only conversation I had with Sean before was the first meeting. We signed in and him and I were the only two on and he was putting on his pants on Zoom. And I was like, Sean, you know, before I meet someone in that situation, before you buy me dinner. And he was like zipping up. He's like, oh, I didn't know anyone was on here. I'm like, all right, well, this is cool. And then the next night, he called me the duck. So that was pretty cool.
Well, I would love to see you and ChemFlo going back and forth, but I'm very happy for the both of you. But we need to move on to UFC Fight Night, Reyes versus Prohazka. And we will start with what is a huge fight at 135 pounds. We mentioned it earlier, Ian. Ray Longo's guy, Merab Dwalishvili, minus 240. Cody Stamann, plus 200. Last fight for Stamann against Jimmy Rivera. Ran into a very sharp Jimmy Rivera on Fight Island last July. How do you see this one playing out, Ian Parker? And ultimately, we will need a winner.
Yeah, I think minus 240 is a little heavy for Merab in a fight against another wrestler who's also a really good striker speed-wise. But I do think Merab's cardio and his constant pressure, as we saw what Rivera did to Stamann. So I'm going to go Merab here. I just think that line is a little heavy for a straight bet.
ChemFlo, what do you think about this bet? I mean, Merab has not had a knack for putting people away per se, but he has been dominant and he just never stops, man. I mean, right? It's like, yeah. I can't relate to the output of some of these guys. And I would think he'd be a hard guy to fade at the window. What do you think?
Yeah, listen, I think that Cody Stamann definitely has some skills. He's a solid wrestler himself. We can't forget about that. He's a developing striker. But I do think that what Merab may lack in the striking department against someone like Stamann, I think he makes up for with his pressure, his pace, his conditioning, and his wrestling. I think there will be a lot of moments where Stamann's going to be pressed up against the cage and, you know, trying to, you know, wrestle him off in the clinch. And I do think Merab will definitely hit a few takedowns here and there. And I think that's going to be the difference here. I think Merab gets it done as well.
All right, light heavyweight division, Iwan Kutelaba minus 130. His series with Magomed Ankalaev now complete, of course, taking on Dustin Jacoby plus 110. Big opportunity, Ian, for Jacoby here, stepping in for Devin Clark, trying to get his second win of the year. He's got momentum over all four straight. And it's a good story, obviously, given the time between UFC starts. What are your thoughts on the former quarterback, I believe, Dustin Jacoby here against the Hulk, Iwan Kutelaba?
You know what? I actually kind of like Jacoby here as an underdog. I do think that his technical striking, I think, I'm sorry, Kenny, you knew I was going that way. Who are you kidding at this point? this is why you should go first. I told you, but no, all serious. I think that Iwan Kutelaba comes out the gate too hot. I think he throws so much and he gets tired. I just think Jacoby's technical striking output will be the game changer. As long as he doesn't blow his gasket in rounds one and two, I think he just has more tools in the striking department to get this done. And I don't think he gets scared by Ion screaming in his face. So I like
Iwan.
Iwan.
I figured that guy you would focus on because you're a comic book guy, you know, Iwan, the Hulk. The Hulk. What do you mean? You don't see the time
But the Hulk's real name is Bruce Banner. It's not Iwan Kutelaba. The Hulk. But I get what you're saying. Okay, that's fine. You want to, I get it.
ChemFlo, ChemFlo, you have called fights involving Iwan Kutelaba. What are your thoughts on the Hulk here? I love watching the Hulk, man, for better or for worse. I'm a fan. I'm also a fan of Dustin Jacoby. What do you think, Flo?
Well, listen, dude, he's a dangerous guy, and Kutelaba has the ability to knock out anyone in the division. But he is a little bit reckless at times, and I think that it allows for others to come in and knock him out. I do think that, you know, for the majority of what Ian said, he's correct. I think that Dustin is going to be a more technical guy. I think that he might be able to catch Kutalaba coming in and actually knock him out. But I think if he's smart, he doesn't try to engage. He tries to play the more technical striker and outpoint him round by round. And if there's an opportunity, he takes him out. But you don't want to force it against someone as dangerous as Kutalaba.
All right, new main event challenge rule. Whoever is losing at the time has to pick the main event first. But Ken Flo gets the red corner for every other selection heretofore, unless the guest picker is somebody who has a UFC resume better than his. Because we need to put some respect on the name Cub Swanson, and we need to put some respect on the name Kenny Florin. So Ken Flo's going to have the red corner for this one. But as he trails us, Ian, I will have him lead the main event for you. Giga Chikadze, minus 185. Cub Swanson, plus 160. We'll need the round, the method of victory, boys. My son needs to. Jesus. Chikadze has won 7 in a row, Kenny. He's 5-0 in the UFC, Ian. I think he's a great fighter. He's a great human being. I've loved getting to know him in the fighter meetings. But I think we need to respect Cub Swanson a little bit here, Ian. I mean, again, I'm an amateur here, but, you know, 20th UFC fight. He has momentum. I don't have to be there in Vegas to know that he's putting in the work and he's in a good place. Any value for you on Cub Swanson here, IP, against Giga Chikadze?
That's a no for me, John, on this one, unfortunately. Listen, I love Cub Swanson. What he showed in his last fight is he's still here and he still wants to be here and he has the skills. I just think Chikadze is a new type of fighter. The striking is just light years past a lot of people. And if he keeps the fight standing, and we saw his ground game a little bit, I just think he's faster. I think he knows how to pick his shots. And similar to the last fight we broke down, just a better technical striker. As long as he doesn't brawl and be willing to take a shot from Cub, because Cub can still knock you out, I don't see how he gets outstruck by Cub Swanson, and I think he gets the win.
Ken Flo, Giga Chikadze, Cub Swanson, 3-round co-main event this weekend. Who do you have?
You know, I think if it was Giga's, you know, first, second, maybe even third UFC fight, you know, there'd be some hesitation there on my part in picking Giga, but I do think that he really is very comfortable now in the UFC. I think that he's tall, he's lanky, and he has a crap ton of experience as a striker. And I know he's been working on his jiu-jitsu for a long time now. I actually trained with him many years ago. And so I know he's focused. I think he's going to be tough in that division, given his size and physical skills. I like Giga here. I like Giga by decision against Cub.
Giga Chikadze for Ken Flo and Ian. And then our main event, Jiří Procházka, minus 145. Dominic Reyes, plus 125. Kenny, we'll have you lead off here. Need the round and the method of victory. Obviously, this is the return fight for Reyes since the UFC 253 loss to Jan Błachowicz. Procházka, we've seen him once in the UFC. Yeah. It was violent. I know you're a big Procházka fan. What are your thoughts on the main event and what we might see and ultimately who wins it?
Well, you alluded to it. You know, we only have seen him once, and that was very impressive in his UFC debut. If he's able to compete that way and show that movement, I think he can offer up a lot of problems for Dominic Reyes. And, you know, for Reyes, we haven't really seen him since his last loss. We're not sure what he's going to look like coming back, right? We haven't seen him since his last fight. So I think that, Procházka is probably going to be the favorite here. I'm not sure he gets it done by knockout. I think he can. But again, I'm going to have to go with Procházka here by decision.
So Ian, this is a very interesting main event, hugely important fight at 205 pounds. And I was on a podcast earlier today and they asked me to sort of handicap it. And I said, you know, sometimes when I'm calling fights, I have this amazing lens, 26 out of these 40 shows into these guys and where they're at during fight week. For a fight like this, I don't have that insight, right? I'm not there. I'm not necessarily following these guys' every move the way maybe I have intel on Cub Swanson per se. So I don't have that lens. I think it's a very close fight. I would submit to you that I think Procházka deserves to be the favorite. I think some people are surprised by that. What do you see happening this weekend, and ultimately on which side do you fall?
I'm actually a little surprised he's the favorite also, because in the fight against Volkan Ozdemir. That first round, he wasn't winning. And then Ozdemir looked like he tired out, and Jiří caught him. You know, with Reyes, yeah, he lost to Jan Blachowicz, but look what Blachowicz has done. Then he went and beat Israel Adesanya. You know, we're seeing a different Jan Blachowicz. Maybe he doesn't get enough credit. And Reyes before that was the man. He was doing everything he was supposed to do. He was the prospect. I don't really see a reason why all of a sudden we just discount him here. In fact, I love him as an underdog in this situation because, one, he's, you know, it's hard for me to bet on someone who's been in the UFC one time. It, like, literally, and then all of a sudden he gets thrown into a big fight against a guy in Reyes who has fought top-level competition. You know, they may question his win over Weidman because it was Weidman's first fight at 205, but it was still Chris Weidman. It still wasn't like a, you know, a no-namer who was his first fight. So I like Dominic Reyes here. If I'm Reyes, I try to drag this into as deep waters as possible. I try to wrestle the hell out of this guy and not get in brawls. Don't be cocky, bouncing around, trying to land that big shot because we see Jiří will land a bigger shot, and that's when he will go night-night. So I'm going to go Reyes. I'm going to say fourth round TKO. Unless Jiří surprises us with cardio, I've heard nothing about his distance fighting, and I think Reyes has that cardio. So I'm going to go with that as my result.
I may just sit on the couch and get a 2-liter Coke. Kenny's not listening, so I'll just say a large bag of nacho cheese Doritos and a 2-liter Coke and just sit on the couch and watch these fights. Delete all my social media apps.
The meeting is on Friday.
I was just looking. I was just looking at Ray's, you know, record, and I don't know. I don't think he's faced. You know, John Jones obviously was an amazing opposition there, but I don't know. I think Prochazka is a different kind of striker. I don't think that Ray's has faced anyone like him.
Yeah.
But it should be an interesting fight.
Find out. I was joking that you weren't listening because I don't like to admit to drinking soda when you're intensely paying attention, but I'm thinking, you know, maybe no tequila this weekend. Maybe we just go 2-liter Coca-Cola fucking classic, large bag of nacho cheese Doritos, and get laughing gas for the children and put them down at about 6:30. Ian, congratulations, man. Seriously, very happy for you. I mean, you got skills. There's no doubt about it. And you know, just be you, buddy. You know, you can see Ian pre-show for the PFL 4:30 p.m. Wednesday. We're not talking about the PFL, by the way, next week. No plugs, no nothing. So just enjoy this fucking week because it's all gone next week. At Ian Parker MMA, any final parting shot from you, my man, before we let you play? That goes for Ken Flo too. It's the UFC podcast.
They gotta just go fuck myself at this point. It's I will say this.
And I thought I congratulated him twice, and maybe my twin brother will tell me it's a backhanded compliment, you know. And I'm not
100% a backhanded compliment. I know you meant well. It's fine. Listen, I'm joking.
Was it really?
You texted me. You sent me an audio message. That was very nice of you to do. I appreciate that. Maybe you don't remember. It was a busy week for you. I completely understand that. I will say this: really cool experience. For the first time, was getting to be able to listen to guys like Kenny rehearse and do all the stuff. Kenny, you were awesome that night. I already texted
you, buddy.
And I will tell you, there was a lot of craziness going on in the background. And getting to listen to Kenny live on the headset. By the way, getting to hear winners before they were announced, that was different. That was different from production. But we're not talking about that organization. Don't worry, John. I'm not mentioning.
I'm joking around. Did you watch UFC 261 broadcast?
I'm sorry.
Did you watch the UFC 261 pay-per-view broadcast? Bro,
let me ask you a question. How really was it with 15,000 people? Your faces, you, Cormier, and Rogue, you need to have your own collection of NFTs. I know Kenny probably got super excited me mentioning that in the crypto world, but like, you know, Rogan grabbing you guys like we've he just had ejaculated for the first time in his life was beyond. It was
you actually should.
It was an incredible, incredible night. I love the fans so much. God love you, buddy. I'm trying to be nice out here. I really am.
I heard rumors you're fighting Jake Paul next.
Me? No. Fighting Pat Miletich.
And a pig farm in Missouri, I'm sure.
Yeah. I would rather. You know what Jake he has Paul to do? Do you know what Miletich has to do if he loses this 3-round boxing match to me?
Oh, this is a real thing. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So you stop listening to the Anakin Florian podcast now because you got signed by.
I thought that was a joke. This is a real thing. Okay.
We talked about it on the podcast last week, so you can re-rack last week's episode, but I don't want to waste any more of Ken Flo's time. So. Or yours. No, I said Miletich has to wear a mask for a month if he loses to me. He's not going to lose to me. That's the rub.
Is it? It's just straight boxing.
Straight boxing, 3 2-minute rounds.
You can beat him. He's a ground guy.
I beat anybody I put my mind to. I'm not trying. You know, I'm not trying to go 0-1. You know, it's like I'm not trying to go 0-1. We're trying to go 1-0.
How old is Miletic right now?
Got a lot of options right now on the table, so I don't want to exclusively focus on Patty right now. I think he's about my age, maybe a little bit older. But
he's in his 50s.
He's in his 50s.
Hey, y'all want me to face 50s. Someone younger? I mean, I just need to be the underdog. I want to be the betting underdog, unless it's my twin brother and that's a pick 'em fight. And by the way, if my twin brother says I was mean to you this week, this will be the last episode of the Anakin Florian podcast I host. He'll be stepping in next week for episode 299, you know, and that's it, you know.
You've been fine. You're not being mean. He just likes
one beer before the show. I had a bad show early, and now everybody's all over me.
I haven't said a word. I think you've been fantastic.
Thanks. Cody's going to give it to me later by trafficking his
business. He's going to edit the hell out of this. Everyone's
going
to be great.
I hope not. Next week, we're going live in the StreamYard platform, but we got to let you go because Ken Flo's like, you got a show to prep for. Hey, thank you. Love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
Dude.
All right, that's it for the main event challenge. And that's it for the show. Remember, the show is going head-to-head with the NFL draft on Thursday night, I believe, on this channel. So, Cody, I love you. Jay, love you. Bilal, remember the name Muhammad. I'll be watching the NFL draft, but for you mixed martial arts fans, you can watch Remember the Show on this channel. I think they're not going Friday, maybe, because they don't want to counter-program Ken Flo's new gig. So I don't know what's going on. But if you want to watch Remember the Show, you can watch it Thursday. If you'd like merchandise, AnakinFlorianPodcast.com. Code AF10 for 10% off. And we will be back next Monday to recap Prohaska and Reyes. And then, of course, get you fired up for Corey Sandhagen and TJ Dillashaw. And I did talk to Jeff Nowitzki, by the way. TJ Dillashaw has passed like 24 drug tests, by the way, already since he came back.
Good.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, best of luck this weekend, my man. Hope I didn't offend any young children. We will talk to you next Sunday or Monday. I think we're actually going to do the show Sunday, so you get it earlier next week. And thank you all for listening. For Cody, for Ken Flo, I'm John. Thank you all. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, go ahead.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, we take on a couple of villains to sort out whether bad stuff is also illegal stuff. George Santos won a seat in Congress by lying to voters, but is that a crime? And Kanye West made it clear he hates Jews. In England, he'd go to jail for that. Here in America, did he commit a hate crime? Listen to Too Many Lawyers on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family, and 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.